Okay, so we're going to begin the official public comment part of tonight's virtual meeting. And again, I'm going to start at those that registered the earliest and to those that registered just earlier today. And I may mention a name that I'm trying to see, and I'll try to skip over those that I can already tell are not actually able to participate in today's virtual meeting. So we're actually going to start with public comment. I'll let you know the new five that are in the queue. So we're going to start with Chris Voss. Then we're going to go to Margaret Webb, Brett McNulty, Linda Kropp, and Jim Hines in that order. Okay, so let's go, Lisa, if you can unmute Chris Voss for your public comment.
Good evening. Can everyone hear me?
We can. Go ahead.
Good evening. Great. Thank you. Thank you, Bill and Claire and Lisa. My name is Chris Voss, and I'm a commercial fisherman from Santa Barbara, and I'm president of our local commercial fishing organization here in Santa Barbara. And as you can imagine, we've had a long relationship with the Channel Islands Marine Sanctuary. And I personally worked for a number of years pursuing a limited fishery for abalone at San Miguel Island. And in that time, I developed some fairly constructive working relationships with Channel Islands Sanctuary staff. And what I'd like to kind of explain to everyone tonight was that that ended up being a profoundly unsatisfactory relationship and outcome. And unfortunately, it's made me very bitter on the sanctuaries and placing them in additional places throughout our state. And our association is strongly opposed to any new designation of sanctuaries in this area because of the unfortunate relationship we've had locally here with the sanctuary that's off the coast of Santa Barbara. My experience is that the actual sanctuary structure, where you guys set up a sanctuary advisory council, doesn't afford local engagement and influence because the SACs are just advisory councils. So what's up happening in my experience is that the federal government dictates what takes place within this space, and a lot of what the councils may put forth as recommendations are discarded. So it's not a good idea for people in the state of California to relinquish their authority to the federal government in this way by allowing these sanctuaries to be created. We work very hard to craft sustainable fisheries management objectives with the state of California and through the Pacific Fisheries Management Council. And when these sanctuaries get put in, a whole nother layer of bureaucratic infrastructure gets put into this process that we're all trying to navigate in our efforts to manage our marine resources effectively. And as much as they declared at the Santa Barbara Channel Islands Marine Sanctuary that they wouldn't influence the fishing activities that take place within that space, they absolutely have repeatedly stepped over the line of their authority and influenced the decision makers against proactive, constructive, creative, and innovative fisheries management approaches. And it's been something that that has had a significant detrimental effect on our local fishing community, and unfortunately, it's left a pretty severe scar. And now I'm motivated. And so criteria seven is what I'm speaking to right now. You do not have local support for this sanctuary, and Santa Barbara's commercial fishing community will oppose it tooth and nail to the end. And so I apologize for these strident remarks, but it's just my experience is one that is unfortunately a very bad one. And thanks for this opportunity to speak.
All right, thank you for your public comment, Chris. We appreciate everyone's point of view. We're gonna move on to Margaret Webb. Sorry, Lisa, you're perhaps muted.
I'm trying to unmute her, so just give me a second. Sorry.
All right, I found her. So go ahead, Margaret.
My name is Margaret Webb, and I live in Cambria, California. I want to thank NOAA for this opportunity to enter public comment and input on this important decision. Chumash peoples have protected this region since time immemorial. Our local counties have started pursuing sanctuary protection in the 90s and show persistent support to this day. From the federal comment responses, the Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary nomination is still relevant, still critically important, and has ignited support for sanctuaries from small towns to national organizations. Members of the public from many walks of life are weighing in with support. The public values the cultural, ecological, historical, recreational, economic, and archaeological importance of this region. Indigenous peoples, surfers, fishers, divers, clammers, ocean advocates, marine biologists, all kinds of people are motivated to ask for the nomination to continue in NOAA's inventory. There's over 16,000 petition supporters on the internet and over 200 comments so far. I'm a part of a very active Central Coast community that treasures and values our beautiful ocean. Our communities and businesses rely on the health of the ocean for fisheries, indigenous ceremonial rites, tourism, recreation, education, and research institutions. The biodiverse California current linkage continues despite accelerated climate change. The impacts include increasing ocean temperature and acidification, resulting in damage to the fisheries and the economic health of our region. Rising sea level impacts this region more significantly, as our beaches have municipal infrastructure, damage from coastal development, and beaches butting up against bluffs. Our region's socioeconomic health will suffer as we lose important recreation and tourism venues due to the narrowing beach access. The ocean is a major driver of the world's climate and weather. This is an opportunity for NOAA to add and enhance the sanctuary system with a transition zone that is experiencing climate change at a rate greater than that of the global ocean. This zone constitutes a natural laboratory for forecasting weather and understanding climate change impacts to the ocean and coastal zone. What happens here in this zone affects the food web of the ocean north and the food web of the ocean south of here. Strategies for resilience through collaborative research and ecosystem-based management will best promote the long-term conservation while allowing compatible human uses. Through promoting research, education, indigenous culture, and preserving the very habitats that fisheries and other ocean-related economic sectors rely on, this nomination should remain as a vibrant and relevant asset in the NOAA inventory. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Margaret, for that. I do have to amend who is up in the queue because several of the people that I named actually are not present at tonight's meeting. So the next five that I believe are present are Delilah Bentz-Kang, I'm sorry if I did not pronounce that correctly, Mike Conroy, Steve Scheiblauer, Tom Haffer, and Fred Collins. So we'll go ahead and start with Delilah. Go ahead, Delilah.
Hi, my name is Delia Bentz-Kang, and I'm the Northern California Regional Manager for the Surfrider Foundation. Surfrider is a grassroots chapter-based organization that works to protect our coasts and ocean. In the U.S., we have over 170 chapters and clubs, including 20 in the state of California. Surfrider would like to express our strong support for the proposed Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary, in this case particularly in response to criteria number 7, and ask that NOAA extend the designation timeline for another 5 years. The factors that make the site appropriate for designation over 5 years ago are even more relevant than today. This includes the presence of outstanding ecological and cultural resources that make the area worthy of National Marine Sanctuary status. It also includes an increase in threats from climate change and plastic pollution, which are causing devastating impacts to marine ecosystems across the globe. Moreover, the area is under greater threat of new offshore oil and gas development, as BOEM included it in the draft 5-year offshore oil drilling plan. Finally, I want to emphasize the broad support for the nomination from Surfrider members and other coastal recreational users across the country. Our local San Luis Obispo chapter has worked passionately with the Chumash tribe and other partners for over a decade to support this effort. Meanwhile, thousands of other Surfrider supporters from across the U.S. visit the region for its natural and cultural values and have submitted comments in support. Thank you for the opportunity to provide comments. Surfrider looks forward to supporting next steps to achieve the designation of the Chumash National Marine Sanctuary. Thank you.
Thank you, and I apologize for the mispronunciation of your name. Okay, moving on to Mike Conroy.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yep, you're all set, Mike. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks. My name is Mike Conroy. I'm the executive director of the Pacific Coast Federation of Fishermen's Associations. I appreciate the opportunity to offer comments here today, and I'm going to stick to the plan of addressing changes that have happened since 2015. I want to first point out with regard to the national significance criteria number 3, that we do need to be responsive and aware of impact of a changing ocean conditions upon fisheries. This may result in species shift with which a sanctuary may impact. For example, in Morro Bay since 2015, squid has become an important fishery to the Morro Bay fishing community. And we would like to make sure that in future fisheries that could happen within the area aren't going to be negatively impacted. With regard to some specific items that were included within the original proposal, I want to point out with regard to the southern sea otters that the populations have increased since 2015, although I will note that there was a recent drop due to increased predation by great white sharks. But in terms of using a sanctuary as a proxy for critical habitat, there's, you know, ESA already has provisions for designating critical habitat. So we would prefer that if there's going to be any expansion of critical habitat for the southern sea otter, it not be through the sanctuary process. Also like to point out that recent changes to essential fish habitat with federally managed fisheries have greatly expanded that as well. Since 2015, previously allowed gear types may be disallowed in the future, and new gear types may be allowed. So that needs to be considered as well. We also have concerns about the recent executive orders and their potential impacts and the increased uncertainty to California's historic seafood suppliers. Also, we want to be cognizant of more and diverse competing uses for limited amounts of available space. And finally, we do very much appreciate the statement in the proposal that the sanctuary shall impose no future regulations upon commercial or recreational fishing. But I want to point out, you know, Bill made a comment to this earlier that, you know, sanctuaries can propose and promulgate regulations. And we just want to ensure that that statement as the proposal carries forward, because we view the sanctuary's ability to proffer regulations as a way to subvert the fishery management processes implemented and in effect both under the Pacific Fisheries Management Council and the Fish and Game Commission. So thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mike, for your comment. Let me go a little bit deeper so people can get prepared. So as I've already mentioned, we've got Steve Schaublauer, Tom Haffer, Fred Collins, but Fred might be having some audio issues, so I'll double check with him in a second. Then we've got Jeremiah O'Brien, Jennifer Rodriguez, and Andrew Johnson in the queue. So let's backtrack. We are on Steve Schaublauer. And again, I apologize if I'm not pronouncing your name accurately.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Steve, go ahead.
Okay, yes, this is Steve Schaublauer. And my comment is about this process. And I want to quote briefly from the Federal Register. I quote, comments which do not address the sanctuary nomination process and new information that NOAA should evaluate will not be considered in determining whether to extend the Chumash nomination for another 5 years, end quote. So what this tells me is that in deciding whether or not to extend the Chumash nomination, the public is only allowed to comment on what may have changed within the 5 year period and only in reference to the 11 criteria, also handed to you by sanctuary leaders. Comments on other concerns will not be considered. Therefore, all the many agencies, organizations, and individuals who expressed objections in great detail in 2015 don't count. And the reasons for opposition then and now will not be heard. This is clear from the Federal Register notice and is a serious flaw, leading, in my opinion, to a disenfranchisement. A second flaw is found in the 11 criteria. They're vague and open-ended. Most of the U.S. West Coast can be described as meeting multiple criteria, as great habitat and resources abound. Arguably, the entire West Coast is nationally significant. Once again, the sanctuary has structured this evaluation so that only comments about changes affecting their criteria will be considered. Other comments, such as about the criteria themselves or the lack of certain criteria, will be ignored. As an example, people may have a lot to say about the structure and management of the sanctuary advisory councils, such as what Mr. Voss alluded to.
And within the 11 criteria is found the requirement to provide broad community support, something that was clearly not demonstrated in 2015, as the nomination was unquestionably highly contentious and opposed by a wide and diverse public. The Office of National Marine Sanctuaries likely violated its own criteria by accepting the nomination, in my opinion. My observation, after having about 30 years of experience with the sanctuary program, is that the program needs to fix its own governance problems before it expands. Problems with how sanctuaries are managed go far beyond the True Mesh nomination. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Oh, sorry, Steve. Up next is Tom Haffer. You're unmuted. Go ahead, Tom.
This is Sherry Haffer, his wife, because he's out fishing.
All right. Would you like to make a comment on his behalf, or are you passing?
I will make a comment. So what the experience that we have had with the sanctuary that I felt was unfair was that during the MLPA process that was 3 years long, my husband went to hundreds of meetings to give his input as a chief stakeholder person. And they decided, you know, through all these processes and you know, doing what the scientists told them, you know, and where it would work best for them, the fishermen came up with a proposal. And then the environmental community came up with a proposal. And it was backed by the sanctuary folks. And I felt like they used their federal power and their federal monies to back up the environmental community. And in the long run, and what happened was they ended up taking nearly 50% of the reefs that we fished on. It was devastating. You know, I mean, I've never seen my husband cry, but he cried that day because they took Big Sur, all his entire area that he fished. And they were way too extreme. But you couldn't, like that Chris Foss was saying earlier, you could not negotiate with them. They had their agenda and their way they were going to do things. And, you know, you just weren't important in the long run. You know, they cast you aside. So there's a big issue. We've been fighting this for a long time, like since the early 90s. People have been trying to put this in. And they really don't want it because it's going to make everything so much more difficult when we need to do things that are important. Like we need to dredge Morro Bay every year. And as it is, it's over $1 million. Well, now we're going to have to get permission from the sanctuary folks. I mean, why do we need to do that? And how much more is it going to cost them? And are they going to make it very difficult where they're going to put the sand? You know, they were telling us a story in Monterey, how they just needed to get 4 cups of sand to analyze the sand for some harbor improvements. And it took them several days. They had to get the 7-page report filled out. They had to have observers, special equipment, just to collect 4 cups of sand. I mean, it just, it's overkill and it's not needed. And there's many, many other regulatory agencies that take care of them, everything. They take care of the mammals, they take care of the water, they take care of everything. So it would just be another layer that's unnecessary, a waste of taxpayers' dollars. That's all I got to say.
All right. Thank you for your public comment and speaking on behalf of you and your husband. Our next on the list is Fred Collins, but I've been trying to privately chat with him. It doesn't look like he's connected via audio, but he might be looking at the screen. So Fred, you can hear me. Go ahead and respond to my private chat and we'll get your audio fixed up so you can make your public comment. So let me go down the list. We are ready for Jeremiah O'Brien, and then we'll be followed by Jennifer Rodriguez, Andrew Johnson, John Laird, Charles Varney, and then Kathy Fusmark. All right, so back to Jeremiah O'Brien.
Good evening. My name is Jeremiah O'Brien, and I'm a vice president of the Morro Bay Commercial Fishermen's Organization and a member of the local harbor advisory board here in Morro Bay. You know, I'm somewhat perplexed as to why we're going through all of this again, as this has been on the shelf for 5 years, or about 5 years now. We have been, as your speaker mentioned, working on sanctuary in this area since the 90s. Many of us are very tired of working against the proposals of the sanctuary, and it's been in excess of 20 years. But we'll just talk about the Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary. Again, many people here do not feel as we need more management, particularly from the federal government at this time. We have many, many management agencies that cover our needs here. I think we've done a very good job as stewards of our ocean. That everybody thinks we live in the Garden of Eden, and I agree with that myself, and don't know why we would want to opt for a change. Why would we want to change something? Why would we be so pompous as to think we could change something that would affect our area? So there is no talk here about the lack of support. And I would just like to mention that the Morro Bay Harbor has not supported sanctuary and is on record for not supporting sanctuary on multiple occasions. The port of Port San Luis does not support the expansion, or not the expansion, the creation of a new sanctuary. And our chambers of commerce are against it. It goes on and on. Every single fishing group, I can think of not a single one that is in support of this sanctuary. The sanctuary has cost us quite a bit of money to go against it. Very expensive for us, and we have spent innumerable days of our lives, and now here we are again kicking the same can around. We have a list, if I started reading the names of organizations and agencies that do not support this sanctuary, I obviously don't have time right now, but thank you very much for letting me speak.
All right. Thank you for your comment. So Fred, I saw your message. We're going to work on your audio. We'll come back to you. Moving on to the list, it looks like Jennifer Rodriguez was with us earlier and not now. So we'll move on to Andrew Johnson. All right, Andrew, you've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm Andy Johnson. I'm currently a representative with Defenders of Wildlife's California office, focusing mainly on California coastal and marine conservation issues. Just generally, I'd like to offer Defenders of Wildlife's strong support for the Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary nomination and encourage NOAA's Marine Sanctuary's office to keep the nomination active for the inventory for potential designation so that the process can for designation can commence. In my mind, the nomination meets all the significance criteria, so the progression feels like a no-brainer. But I wanted to highlight the new connection that I think exists between the potential Chumash Sanctuary and California Assembly Bill 3030, the so-called 30 by 30 bill, that calls for protection of at least 30% of the land and waters within the state and 30% of the state's ocean waters by the year 2030. The 30 by 30 objectives, if enacted, would align with the conservation criteria and management goals outlined in the Chumash Heritage nomination. By spanning the sanctuary gap from the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary to the Channel Islands National Marine Sanctuary, the proposed sanctuary would help California realize its 30 by 30 goals and further solidify the state as the nation's leader in conservation of natural spaces. So I would, I think that the 30 by 30 bill, again, if it goes through, is something that really wasn't under consideration back when back in 2015. So I think that's something that that will factor in as this moves forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much yourself. All right, moving through the list here, we next have John Laird. All right, we're working to get you unmuted. Go ahead, John.
Great. Thank you very much. I appreciate the chance to make some comments tonight. I was Secretary for Natural Resources for the 8 years of the Jerry Brown administration from 2011 to 2019. In that time, I wrote a letter on this subject. That is a letter written since 2015 that pointed out some of the benefits with regard to tribal resources in some of the habitat in this potential designation. This morning, my successor as Secretary for Natural Resources, Wade Crowfoot, filed a letter through the portal expressing the state's support for the renewal of the nomination, and he raised some of the same issues. Since 2015, there is one particular tribal issue adjacent to this, and that is that as Secretary, when we had a very contentious designation process for the North Coast, the three northern counties of California. At the beginning, it sounded a lot like the diversity of the testimony that you've heard already in this. And we sat everybody down and attempt to have a science-based workout to work around certain fishing needs, work towards sustainable. And I led negotiations with the tribes to allow them in certain cases to do takes for subsistence and for ceremonial purposes that could be demonstrated to be historic. 28 tribes agreed, and a 29th tribe in the state waters adjacent to this proposed sanctuary is in the process and I believe has finally done a similar agreement. That's recent, that's new. We also, through the Ocean Protection Council, joined with Washington and Oregon to do science on ocean acidification, to deal with not just what the impacts were that are stark, but what we could do, science on seaweed, other things, that is very pronounced and has been developed since the start of this process. So I really think that whether it's tribal agreements, whether it's bringing the stakeholders together, whether it's state support, whether it's ocean acidification, a lot of work has been done since 2015, and it mitigates for the renewal of this nomination so that we can get all the stakeholders together and try to work this out, because it's a very important ocean conservation goal. And there's some severe challenges now, and there are many stakeholders that have different needs. And I think the only way we can address some and meet the conservation goals is to renew the nomination. So I support the renewal, and we'll be happy to work with you over time. Thanks for the opportunity to comment today.
All right, thank you, John, for your public comment. We're moving on to Charles Varney. Let me go through the new list. Charles Varney, Kathy Fosmark, James Gosnell, Wayne Moody, and Violet Walker. Okay, so who did I say was next? Charles Varney.
So Charles, it shows here that Charles Varney can't be unmuted until he enters a PIN.
Oh, so Charles, I'm not even seeing. Okay, we are having audio. Okay, we'll come back to you, Charles. I'll try to work with you on the side for that. So we'll go to Kathy Fosmark for now.
It's Kathy Fosmark, and I'll find Kathy's name.
Hold on.
Okay, Kathy, you're unmuted.
Hello. Hello?
Go ahead, Kathy.
Gosh. Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you, Kathy.
Okay, I can't hear you because I took my microphone off. Can we try with the microphone? Just one second.
Sure.
Yes. I'm wearing headphones.
Are we still not able to hear me now?
We can hear you. Are you able to hear us as well?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay. Feel free to start.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill, Claire, and Lisa, and those in Silver Springs and NOAA. My name is Kathy Fosmark. I co-chair the Alliance of Communities for Sustainable Fisheries. And it's a regional organization of fishing interests representing 6 Central California communities, ports. I'm also part of a 5-generation family of fishermen settled in, came here in 1830 in the Sea Canyon area of San Luis Obispo County. My great uncle, he built Old Port Fisheries many, many years ago. The Alliance will be submitting detailed written comments in response to the view of the Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary nomination. But I will comment now that I see this review process as more of a baloney coming from the National and West Coast Sanctuary offices. In my opinion, the Chumash nomination on should never have been accepted in the first place. And to now frame a review and decision only in terms of what has changed in the last 5 years is bogus. From the perspective of fishermen, the dominant criteria for consideration, do we trust the program? The sanctuary program is structuring the review so that it will be allowed to ignore comments other than their own criteria. I can answer the trust question. No, fishermen don't trust the sanctuary management. You won't find that criteria on the sanctuary's list, though. Promises were in 1992 that the new Monterey Sanctuary wouldn't take actions that would threaten the livelihoods of fishermen, but they did. When the sanctuary leaders worked against fishermen, used their influence in the state process to create no fishing zones in this area, costing fishermen clearly as they took away the best fishing areas. To top that, now we have sanctuary officials claiming that they never broke the promise and have never caused fishermen economic harm or baloney. And they are telling us that the Chumash nomination trust us, we won't harm fishermen. So those are my comments. I know there's a lot of closed areas out there in the ocean that have already been put aside to protect the ocean species. And someone earlier commented about 30% needed. And I know that that's not part of this process, but there's a lot of areas where we can't go due to other processes. And I think that it would fishermen are basically opposed to more. Thank you. Thank you, Lisa, for helping me.
All right, great. Thank you, Kathy, for that. We're going to move to James Gosnell.
Okay, I'm unmuted now. Okay. Hi, my name is James Gosnell. I'm a civil litigation attorney, a surf rider member, and a recreational fisherman. So this issue speaks of great importance to me. Specifically, I'd like to point out that this particular area, the Marine Sanctuary, does cover the area of Refugio Beach where the oil pipeline ruptured not too long ago. And I was actually involved in the criminal prosecution of the oil pipeline company with the Santa Barbara District Attorney's Office for criminal negligence. So I would like to point out that there are environmental impacts from offshore oil drilling that we have seen in the past 5 years, even in just this time when this is under review. Moreover, as a surf rider member, I do support the conservation and activism efforts of Criteria 7 in terms of linking the marine sanctuaries from Monterey Bay to the Channel Islands National Marine Sanctuary. Although, as a recreational fisherman, I hear the comments and I have great concern over which of these areas will be MPAs. I understand we want to make the whole thing a sanctuary, but people still need to be able to go out and get put on fish. So I respect NOAA and I just like to respectfully commit to evaluate all the factors, consider the oil pipeline that has ruptured in the last 5 years, the criminal prosecution that has happened against the pipeline company, consider the activism and the involvement of environmental organizations seeking to protect the greater part of our Central California coast, but also keep in mind that you can't just have a marine sanctuary where every single area is an MPA. Like if I go out on a Saturday and I want to go get put on fish and I'm in a boat, I want to know GPS coordinates where I can't go and where I can go. And I think that I leave it up to you to make that area robust enough to respect all the interests of the parties. And with that, I respectfully submit.
Okay, thank you. We are at Wayne Moody, and I'll just go through the list. Violet Walker, Colby Concho Kratzer, Alexis Montgomery, and Vita Miller. So with that, Wayne Moody.
Hey, good evening. Okay, good evening. My name is Wayne Moody, and I've been a commercial fisherman for over 40 years. My wife and I have our boat moored in Morro Bay. I've lived on the Central Coast almost 50 years, and while attending Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo, I spent many days diving along the coastal waters. I love the ocean, and I want to see it protected for future generations. That being said, I do not believe a sanctuary is needed or necessary. We have multiple agencies already that can and do. What a proposed sanctuary claims to offer. What a new sanctuary would add is more strain on an already taxed national budget, something future generations will have to pay. And I want to address several of the criteria of National Criteria 1. The Pacific Fishery Management Council has made a Pacific Coast Ecosystem Plan, and I think that was made in 2013. And then at its March 2020 meeting, the council adopted a revised version of chapters 1 and 2. And it states, the Pacific Fishery Management Council envisions a striving and resilient California current ecosystem that continues to provide benefits to current and future generations and supports livelihoods, fishing opportunities, and cultural practices that contributed to the well-being of fishing communities and the nation. Also on criteria 2, and I got this from the Chumash Sanctuary website, the sanctuary will protect now submerged Chumash sacred sites ranging from villages to Saltus alignment 6 to 13 miles offshore. Chumash records suggest occupation of the Central Coast area for 20,000 years. The suggestion that there is a sacred place of 6 to 13 miles offshore isn't a good reason for a sanctuary. And then under criteria three, Mr. Duro stated to the Pacific Fishery Management Council, the nomination states that the proposed sanctuary should not have an impact on fishing rights, nor impose future regulations upon commercial or recreational fishing. If that is true, then how would establishing a sanctuary protect submerged ancient fishing villages? It would, at a minimum, have to be no bottom contact zone. So much for not having an impact on fishing. And then under management considerations number three, and I found some of these where I could have addressed quite a few of them. One of the original big pushes for a sanctuary was protection from offshore oil. And the state has passed a bill that was signed by the Governor Brown that specifically requires 50% of California's electricity be powered by renewable resources. And I see I'm out of time. Sorry. I'll submit comments.
Yeah, absolutely. There's opportunity to submit comments in writing. So for anyone, some people have actually been in touch over and letting us know that they actually want to be taken off the speaker list for tonight's meeting and will submit comments in a written format. So next up is Violet Walker. All right, go ahead, Violet.
Hi. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
Thanks, Bill and Lisa. And, you know, I really appreciate you guys holding this in this new technology we're all getting used to. As part of the original nomination, as part of the Northern Chumash Tribal Council, I just wanted to, you know, reiterate our commitment to the National Marine Sanctuary Program and our commitment to partner with NOAA. Since 2015, we submitted comments about potential new threats. The 11 criteria, what was talked about earlier, one of the most devastating parts of you know, the past 5 years has been the oil and the oil spill that was in Refugio, Plains All American Pipeline in Santa Barbara County. And the oil spill devastated, you know, 120, you know, mile long stretch of our coastline there. And, you know, the repercussions for oil spills off of our coast are imminent. And in January, you know, the proposal for the Secretary of the Interior to open up more continental shelf oil and gas leases for the first time since the 80s. And also the executive order 13795 to implement American First Offshore Energy Strategy. You know, those are, you know, clear new threats to the sanctuary. And I just wanted to go on record to, you know, to make sure that we all understand that there has been a change since 2015 and our coastline is more vulnerable to offshore oil drilling and other types of resource extraction. One of the earlier comments had mentioned wind energy, and I just wanted to comment that the Chumash Heritage and our allies, our groups that we work with, like Surfrider and various other organizations, you know, we would like to be partners and work together and you know, create new visions for offshore wind energy and having them coincide with sanctuaries. So I feel like that's an opportunity for sanctuaries, future sanctuaries, to be able to, you know, set a custom regulations that would be complementary and acceptable within, you know, different types of renewable energy uses. One of the other criteria, you know, I'd like to mention was the criteria seven, broad community support. And I'd like to, you know, just reach out and say thank you to all of our supporters that are on the phone call with us tonight. And, you know, especially people from Sierra Club and other environmental organizations, we really appreciate your support. And, you know, we're here for the long haul, and we appreciate everybody calling in tonight. And thank you all for being here.
Okay, great. Thank you, Violet. All right, let's go through our list. I know we have Colby Concho Kratzer next, and then Vita Miller, and Carmen Boquin and Taria Linala, Sandra Bochiccio. Oh, goodness, I'm sorry, everyone. Okay, so back to Colby. Oh, you know, actually, let's, Colby and everyone I just mentioned, now is probably a perfect time to take our quick 5-minute break. So it's 7:28 p.m. Pacific. How about we make it a 7-minute break and come back at 7:35? So go to the bathroom, grab some water, a quick bite to eat, and we'll come back at 7:35 p.m., okay? So we'll turn off our webcams, but we'll keep the webinar going. So just step away. All right, we'll see you in a few minutes. All right, we are at 7:35 p.m. Pacific. So we've got Dr. Wunick back and Bill Duros is back. So let's just pick up where we left off. So hope you all enjoyed that short break. I know I did. Okay, we are with Colby Concho-Kreutzer for public comment. So Colby, we're about to unmute you here. Okay, let's see, Colby, you are muted on your end. Okay, go ahead.
Real good. In terms of pronunciation, it's easier. You can refer to me as Concho. That's my elder name. I'm a Sisseton Wahpeton Dakota. So whereas I'm not a member of the local Chumash, the tribal council has my full support in terms of keeping our National Marine Sanctuary on the five-year list. The scientific study of our coast is really important. The first criteria asks if the habitat has special ecological significance. And I think it's clear to most everyone, and certainly including those who make a living off of our sea, to know that that is important and that it's significant worldwide fishery here. And the coastal currents here are worthy of study. So the human maritime heritage resources, we need to know more about how the local indigenous people lived on this coast. And this is a great opportunity to do that, having more scientific scrutiny, archaeological and other types of research, to know how it was that the local people lived on this coast. And it's really for humanity's knowledge about who we are and who we can be, because this place has been pristine for a long time, and it's certainly worthy to protect with National Marine Sanctuary status. The important economic uses are indicated, I think, by referencing what happened with Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary, that it's obvious to everyone, hotelers, restaurateurs, people that visit that area, that having a protected sea and coast interface is one of the great attractions. Unfortunately, my city, Morro Bay, California, has suffered the removal of many of its economic support legs with the closure of the power generation plant here in town, the pending closure of the nuclear power plant south of us. All of those different resources that had supplied revenue have been winnowed down to virtually one, and that is tourism. My wife and I have been working on this National Marine Sanctuary since the early 90s. I'd served two terms on the Morro Bay City Council, so that's 8 years, constantly whenever I had an opportunity, advocating for this type of protection so that we can look forward to having the resource to invite people to come view, to enjoy, and for it to be in perpetuity for future generations to see that this part of the Central Coast is certainly worth protecting. And National Marine Sanctuary is the best way to do it, particularly with controlling the activities along the shore. The reference to the ruptured pipeline down the Gaviota Coast is only one example. We certainly had many of those kind of things within our county, which would probably be prohibited, or at least activities would be encouraged for more safety with the advent of more extractive industries being proposed by the federal government in our area. So all of these different factors, particularly number seven, which shows that with every time that I've been involved with a petition drive, for instance, which lasted 3 days, we received over 2,000 individuals in this local community of Morro Bay and San Luis Obispo who were strongly in support of National Marine Sanctuary. We should recognize that the people, if polled, which is difficult to do, that was just a sample over 3 days with a clipboard, are strongly in support of the keeping this on the five-year list for the Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary. So thank you for offering the opportunity. I've heard Bill, I've heard you so many times explaining clearly what the advisory councils do and how they work. And I'm glad that you're there to help more of us learn about how this really is about local control of a worldwide resource which has an administration of our federal government is looking forward to protecting this precious resource that we have. So thank you for that, Bill, in particular. Thank you for the time.
All right, Concho, thank you. Up next, we have Vita Miller. I'm going to unmute you in a second here, Vita. Looks like you have, there you go, you're good to go.
Hi, thank you for letting me comment. And I do support the nomination of the Chumash National Marine Sanctuary. And I also want to endorse the comments made by John Laird. I think those were very important comments where he suggested that all the stakeholders need to come together. And there's no way for that to proceed unless you allow this review process to go forward for another 5 years. But I believe all of them should have a seat at the table, and they should all be heard and their concerns expressed and taken into consideration. And that's the only way we're going to be able to move forward with a workable plan that protects these coastal waters here on the Central Coast that are so important to our livelihood and, of course, sustainability. My main concerns are things, of course, like global warming, which has increased since 2015, the threats of oil spills when we're facing an administration that seems to want to move forward with oil and gas exploration, and particularly ocean acidification. And ocean acidification makes it difficult for marine organisms, of course, to form their shells and skeletons, and that then affects the marine mammals that we have here in our area. And we certainly don't want to see them go away. They are part of our ecosystem, and we're all dependent on each other, all of the organisms and all of the creatures that live in the ocean, and we humans. Eventually everything works up the food chain. I think the tourism aspect can't be overlooked. That's gotten increasingly important in our community. We're losing a lot of tax dollars from other sources. Tourism is becoming the main contributor to tax dollars in this area. And in order to be able to attract tourists, we need to have a sustainable ocean conservation effort in this area. We need to take care of our oceans. We need to manage them in a sustainable manner, and one that benefits all of the creatures that live in the ocean, but also benefits those of us who love this area and those who come from all over the world. And they do come from all over the world. People enjoy just walking on the beach, sunbathing, water sports, boating, kayaking, everything you can imagine. We're also, of course, an area where in the northern part of the county where we have a major elephant seal rookery that draws tourists, but that also is very important to sustain the species. And we don't want to see our ocean environment be threatened by all of the things that have gotten worse since 2015. And of course, a lot of people have brought up the Santa Barbara oil spill. And that's something that's been a major concern in our area, is oil exploration. So thank you for accepting my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Vita. We appreciate it. All right, let's go through our lineup here. We've got Carmen Boquin next, and then we were able to address Fred Collins' audio issue. So he will be after Carmen. Then we have Sandra Bocciccio, Mark Hammerdinger, Andrea Luker, Gary Kirkland, Emily Fleiberling, Kelsey Lamb, followed by Brad Snook and Ed Powers, but they may have left the meeting. So let's go ahead, Carmen, and then Fred. Go ahead, Carmen.
Hello, my name is Carmen Boquin, and I'm a Cuesta College student, a member of the Sunrise Movement, which is a local youth movement, and the Sierra Club. And I just wanna express my support for the Chumash Marine Sanctuary. As a young person, I am very concerned with the future of our county, the future of our world with climate change drastically changing our world and changing, especially for coastal environments. I think we are going to be thankful that we decided to protect our coast and to give ourselves protection when we did, if we do this now. And I want to address article or the seven of the requirements for Chumash Sanctuary designation. As a young person that grew up here, that went to high school here, I see so many other young people express the desire to protect our coast, to protect our land, and then also to learn more about the Chumash people and give the Chumash people a chance to provide us with information and educational opportunities to learn about this land and the beginning of it. And so I really want to encourage NOAA and all stakeholders to look at what's happening now and to really look at the impact of oil drilling on our coast, and making this Chumash Sanctuary could really further prevent oil drilling and drastic things from happening. There's like no coincidence that we're the only section of coast that's unprotected, and I think we're going to regret not protecting our coast later in the future if we do not do it now. When we see development and climate change continue, we're going to be in a really vulnerable position if we don't protect our coast now, and if we don't take this opportunity to educate our youth, to educate our community. And I can see this in so many of the youth that I'm in community with, and the people in North County of San Luis Obispo, and the educational opportunities that we learn from the coast and that we benefit from. And so I really want to encourage NOAA and the National Marine Sanctuary to designate this and to continue the nomination and the designation so that we can continue this process and hear more voices and really look at what it looks like to be in community and look at the economic benefits and then also the environmental benefits of what this could be if we come together as community. So yes, thank you. Please extend the designation. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you, Carmen. It's good to have youth on board. Fred, let's go ahead and unmute Fred Collins. He is up for public comment. All right, go ahead, Fred.
Thank you very much, Claire. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Bill. You know, the opportunity we have here is once in a lifetime, and we really support the efforts that you've made to make this sanctuary a reality. By opening up the doors to the designation process for us, and also this continuation of our designation. But, you know, what I'd like to do is maybe put a heartbeat to the, you know, Chumash heritage. It seems to have been lost. I know a lot of people, you know, will talk about the Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary, and just you know, it's a name. It's just the calling of an area, but it's much more than that. There's a heartbeat of a nation of people that have thrived along this coast and are seeking thrivability through the protection of this wonderful coastline that we have, which we, you know, so much endear because it's a part of our life. It's a connection to Grandmother Ocean, which is, you know, the beginning and the provider of our nation. And so to just call it the Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary without hearing the heartbeat of a nation of people that have been forgotten, you know, along with the other 350 million indigenous people in the world, we've been forgotten. It wasn't until 2007 that the UN actually was able to pass a resolution of 27 years in the making that gave the indigenous people the right to be a race. And I want to make that, you know, a profound thing in this process. It's just not about one portion of our community, another portion of our community. It's about the heart and soul of our land. It's about the heart and soul of a people who took care of this land, for thousands upon thousands and upon thousands of years in a way that provided harmony, in a way that provided food, in a way that provided so many things of need because of our connectivity, our respect, and our honoring of this great ocean. And so, you know, as we have gone through these ice ages and, asteroids hitting our planet, and, 10,000 years ago, the ocean was 300 feet lower. You can imagine how far out, whether it was 3, 6, or 10 miles, we lived along the coast there. That was the beginning of our nation. And it needs to be, reverberated over and over again. And to have our name spoken, of our nation in Washington, for the first time and on this level, is unbelievably fantastic. And we are, our community here is in support. We have a huge, broad support from our community that is really important. So we want to make sure that NOAA understands that there's a heartbeat that goes along with this sanctuary. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Fred. Again, I'm really glad we were able to work out your audio. So I did list the last remaining names that had registered stating they wanted to make public comment. So if you didn't hear your name and you've decided after the fact that you would like to make a public comment, please indicate so by letting us know through the question box and we'll add you to the list. Okay, so next up is Mark Hammerdinger. So Mark, you are muted on your end. We have unmuted you. Let's see if we can get this sorted out. All right, Mark, I will work with you on the side. We've unmuted you on our end, but it's showing that you're muted. Oh, there you go. You're here now. Go ahead.
Okay, first off, that last speaker, the fake Indian that represents Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary, works with you guys. I thought he was proven in court to be a fake Indian and not able to represent the Indians. And two, I thought that Bill Durham there, weren't you sued? Wasn't there a big lawsuit here about 5 years ago where Noah was sued? Seems to me that there's been a lot of skullduggery going on with this marine sanctuary. I'm highly against it. You say that you may allow wind farms in the sanctuary, but you're trying to, but you want to protect the ocean. I'm all for protecting the ocean, but more big government. Any marine sanctuary that I know of, the first marine sanctuary was one at Casper back in the early 90s, that did nothing but destroy that area. Destroyed the kelp. It was beautiful before marine sanctuary came in. And then all these sanctuaries have kicked, they've done nothing but devastate the economies of these cities and towns along the coast. And so you're willing to, maybe willing to allow wind farms in there. Well, that would cost taxpayers money forever to maintain those wind farms, that electricity. It'll probably re-migrate those wells so they can't have to get away from the electromagnetic waves from the wires, the cables. You say you're all about protecting the ocean. Like I said, every every marine sanctuary I've ever known has done nothing but destroy the ocean. And it's more money. You guys collect money for our taxpayers. Why don't you bring in some money into this country instead of taking it from the taxpayers? I'm fed up with you guys. It's disgusting what you guys are trying to do, destroy, take away the food from the people. And so I do know there were some lawsuits 5 years ago. I think Bill Durham, William there up on top, I think he was named in a lawsuit. I think Fred Collins, there was proven to be an Indian. He was representing Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary. He was proven in court. He had no Indian blood in him. And there's a lot of deception going on here, and you guys are all pushing it. So that's what I have to say. I don't think that a marine sanctuary is going to protect this ocean out here. I think you're pushing your jobs, steal more from the taxpayers. Every one of you get, you all right there, three of you on the screen, you all taking a big paycheck, aren't you? And there's big government, lots of you people are taking big paychecks from the taxpayers. You've ruined this town. You've ruined, these sanctuaries have ruined so many towns.
We're gonna pause now because you're a little over your 3 minutes. Thank you for your comments.
I'm sorry, thank you for letting me speak. Get all this right off my chest.
We're gonna move on to Andrea Luker. While we're unmuting her, I wanted to let folks know, some of you have indicated that you thought you had registered to make a public comment. We apologize if that was the case. We actually downloaded the registration report about 30 minutes before the public meeting started. So we may have missed you if you were a late registrant. For those that were early registrants, and we're sorry that there might've been a snafu, but keep letting us know in the question box and we'll add you to the speaker list. So as I mentioned, we're gonna go to Andrea Luker, then Gary Kirkland, Emily Fieberling, Kelsey Lamb, and then Wayne Coto and Jesse Barrios. And I'll keep looking on the question box if anyone else has been asked to be added. All right, so Andrea, go ahead.
Thank you and good evening. My name is Andrea Luker and I live in Los Osos, California. I have 27 years of experience working for a local municipality, including as their city manager. I was the former executive director of a nonprofit organization focused on the groundfish fishery, and I've spent the last 5 years managing a local port. Tonight, I come before you as a concerned Central Coast resident of 34 years. I'm speaking tonight, as I've spoken before you, in opposition of the proposed National Marine Sanctuary. While I have a number of concerns with the establishment of a new sanctuary, I want to talk a little bit about process this evening. And I'm focusing on management consideration number 7, which is community-based support expressed by a broad range of interests. In measuring community-based local community support, it seems to me essential to have a metric or a system or a standard of measurement. Something as simple as designating a minimum number of local municipalities that are adjacent to the proposed sanctuary that are supportive, or a specific number of local officials that are in support. Same goes for local environmental organizations, local businesses that have a nexus, affected folks such as commercial fishermen, sports fishermen, et cetera. And my question is really, what is the specific metric that indicates broad community support? And you think the answer this year or this time, and actually 5 years ago, was the answer is there's no specific metric that can be determined. What I saw 5 years ago and what I continue to see today is really community-based opposition. That opposition is from a broad range of interests, from fishermen to farmers, municipalities to local elected officials, NGOs, nonprofits to profit-making businesses. Simply, this sanctuary proposal did not initially meet management criteria number 7 5 years ago, and it doesn't meet management criteria number 7 now. So I would strongly urge you to remove this proposal from your inventory list. I appreciate the time, and I hope you have a good rest of your evening. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your public comment. We are now on, I believe, Gary Kirkland. All right, you're unmuted. Go ahead, Gary.
Oh, hi. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak. I want to start off with a syllogism from Aristotle. And the syllogism goes like this. Humans are part of nature. And if you don't believe that, I'll bury you in evidence that humans are part of nature. Okay, that's the first premise of the syllogism. The second premise is that what humans do is natural. And again, if you don't believe that's true, I'll bury you in evidence. So the third is the conclusion from those two theses or premises is that if a human wipes out a species, that's part of nature. And so the people who believe that you should save endangered species don't believe in science. Science and evolution, which I learned as a biologist, is the idea that species disappear. And so there is no sanctuary. There's no such thing in nature as a sanctuary. And what the you talk about ecological sensitive areas. Well, what are ecologically insensitive areas? Areas that it doesn't matter what you do there? And you talk about trying to save the ocean. Well, anthropomorphism is the idea of giving human characteristics to dead animals. It's also called the pathetic fallacy. The ocean can't be sick or healthy. It just is. It's not a living organism. And so a lot of these terms that you people use are not scientific. They're not logical. And they don't follow any logical reasoning when you develop them. And as far as conservation goes, I'm going to use the example of food. If somebody decides they're going to conserve their food, okay, well, that means you don't eat it. If you don't eat the food you have at home, it'll either rot or just sit there in your refrigerator. That's one effect. The second effect is you'll starve to death if you don't eat food. The third effect is all the farmers and the grocery stores will go out of business if people decide, okay, I'm not going to eat food anymore. So conservation doesn't work. You can't conserve something. There's no such thing as conservation. Everything, you use it. If you want to save the food supply, you have to eat the food you have and go buy more. That keeps the food supply going. As far as the ocean goes, any fish, any organism that you take out of there, you can start farming it if you want. I was in Ireland, and they're farming salmon there. So if you want to, quote, save a species, start eating it. There are so many cows in this country. I'll use fish as an example, in the ocean. In this country, there are more cow stores, hamburger joints, than there are fish stores. People eat way more hamburger than they eat fish. And yet there's no shortage of hamburger. In fact, the farmers right now doing this COVID thing are worried that they can't get their stuff to market. There's too much fish, too much hamburger. We've overfished the oceans over and over again because nobody owns them. Instead of making a sanctuary, what we should do is sell the ocean like we sold land. Use electronic means to mark out, which the Egyptians learned how to do with the Nile 5,000 years ago. This is not new. And start allowing people to own fish in the ocean. And what the fishermen will do is try to save those fish, because farmers, guys, ranchers, they don't harvest their whole food supply, all their horses or their cows. They save some for next year, and they keep farming year after year after year. We could do the same thing with the ocean. The sanctuary idea is just more level of government bureaucracy. And it doesn't solve any of the problems it purports to solve. Thank you very much.
All right. We're going to move on to Emily Fieberling, if I said that accurately. You're unmuted. Go ahead. Quick check on Emily. You're unmuted on our end and look like we should be able to hear you. All right, we'll come back to Emily. Perhaps she stepped away for a quick bathroom break or such. So coming back to Emily, we'll move on to Kelsey Lang. Go ahead, Kelsey.
Awesome. Thank you. My name is Kelsey Lamp, and I'm the Oceans Advocate with Environment America, a national environmental organization that works in 29 states to protect our clean air, clean water, and open spaces, as well as Environment America Research and Policy Center. I'm responsible for directing our campaigns nationally to protect more of our oceans, including areas in the Atlantic, Pacific, and Gulf of Mexico. Whether you live in a coastal state or grew up hours from the nearest beach, as I did in Nevada, you can't help but appreciate the beauty and importance of our ocean. That's why I am speaking on behalf of Environment America and Environment America Research and Policy Center in support of keeping the Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary nomination in NOAA's inventory, which will help further ocean protection nationally. Globally, we know we face a biodiversity crisis whose severity was clearly documented in the 2019 Intergovernmental Science Policy Platform on Biodiversity and Ecosystem Services, IPBES, report. That report found that 1 million species risk extinction, including many of our most iconic marine life species. And as ecosystems struggle to adapt to climate change, we know that in order to address this biodiversity crisis, we need to act to protect more of our oceans. Designation of the Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary will help us achieve that goal. The area is undoubtedly ecologically significant. The confluence of major ocean currents and resulting upwelling creates remarkable biodiversity in the area nominated. A hotspot for marine life migrating through the existing West Coast National Marine Sanctuaries, this area will enhance conservation, including for the iconic and threatened California sea otter, and will be important in preserving the rich food web and diverse wildlife in migrating wildlife in this time of increasing impacts in our ocean, including the impacts of pollution, fracking, seismic testing for oil, offshore vessel waste disposal, and climate change. This makes the proposed sanctuary a welcome addition to the sanctuary system. America has a long history of conservation, and protecting our ocean is key to conserving our natural heritage for generations to come. Therefore, I urge NOAA and the Office of National Marine Sanctuaries to extend the nomination and protect the Chumash heritage. Thank you.
All right, we appreciate that, Kelsey. We're gonna go back to Emily. I believe she's gotten her audio fixed. So let's see, Emily. All right, go ahead and give it a try, Emily.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you. Go ahead and make your public comment.
Okay, my name's Emily Fieberling, and I'm the Conservation Fellow with Environment California and Environment California Research and Policy Center, which share the mission of ensuring that Californians have access to clean air, clean water, and open space for generations to come. And I'm also a California resident, someone who grew up on the beaches of Santa Cruz and now resides in the Bay Area. So I really know firsthand the importance of protecting our iconic coastline and the rare ocean-dwelling species that call the California coast home. It's in large part our majestic beaches that fuel the California cultural impetus to protect our beloved places and often drive us to lead in environmental protection and policy. California has taken action to protect our oceans through the Marine Life Protection Act, and adding the Chumash Heritage Sanctuary will complete the work of preserving California's ocean heritage and ensure the last bit of the coastline is researched and monitored for generations to come. I can personally attest to the educational and biological importance of this region because almost exactly 2 years ago, I traveled to Pismo Beach in the Kenneth Norris Rancho Marino Reserve to conduct marine botany fieldwork for my degree in ecology and evolutionary biology from the University of California, Los Angeles. And over the last 5 years, we've only further uncovered the augmenting consequences of the climate and biodiversity crises. So it's only more pressing the value that this area around Point Conception and Santa Lucia Bank has been identified and marked as a hotspot for critical ecosystem functions such as trophic transfer and providing nutrients to sustain diverse species, feed communities in kelp forests and support various life stages of marine flora and fauna. And I'd also like to echo the previous comments regarding the sad and horrific consequences of the oil spills and Environment California's eagerness to limit these disastrous events in the future. And that's why I'm speaking on behalf of Environment California and the Environment California Research and Policy Center in support of the extension of the Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary nomination, which will further help us protect our ocean.
All right, glad we got the audio working. Thank you, Emily. We move on to what appears to be our last three public comments. So if you haven't already indicated that you would like to make a public comment and your name hasn't been called, please let us know. So my last three that I currently know of are Wayne Coteau, Jesse Barrios, and Brad Snook. So again, we apologize. I've been keeping track of many of the folks that had submitted that they would like to make a public comment, and I've just been going back and through, and I keep double checking if they've joined the meeting. So I did catch you, Brad, and we're gonna get you after Wayne and Jesse. So we'll start with Wayne. Go ahead, Wayne.
Hi, Claire, can you hear me? Excellent. Thank you, guys. I know it's getting late. I just wanted to try to put a few points in. I'm Wayne Coteau with Coastal Conservation Association California. I think we have an issue with this proposal. A lot of it is because you already have the Monterey Sanctuary right above it. And by adding this one, it takes off so much coastline access. We're trying to figure out why it's needed. We have probably the most highly regulated and protected area in the world along this California coastline. So we're trying to figure out how this will be any more protected by adding it as a National Marine Sanctuary. If everything along the coast is protected, then nothing's protected, right? Nothing's different. The issues of species, biodiversity, the climate change, I'm not even sure how this sanctuary would be any different than any part of the coastline as far as controlling climate change. People talked about ocean acidification. The sanctuary won't protect that because that is mainly because of the runoff from the land and this and the sewer system. So how does that protect that? Okay, since 2015, you asked what changed. The warm blob changed. We had a huge warm blob cycle. We have MPAs up and down this coast. All that protection that everybody has been working so hard for did nothing to protect any of the ecological areas or biodiversity. There was nothing that anybody could do about the kelp forest, about the starfish die-off, about the abalone die-off, or the purple urchin expansion. It happened. Doesn't matter if it's an MPA or a National Marine Sanctuary, nothing would have fixed that or helped cause that. The other idea of protection of mammals or other life, we already have so many protections, like for sea otters or the mammals or the turtles or the birds. They're already in place up and down our coast. So there's no, what does a National Marine Sanctuary provide in over and above that? So, you know, we're trying to help. Somebody brought up the AB 3030 about that designation. That has nothing to do with this at this point. It's proposed legislation. I'm not even sure about the dredging, if that even counts inside of the MP, inside of a NOAA sanctuary. I need to further look into that. But you know, there's all these issues that we have. The point of number seven of the community support, we're gonna have the same thing that we had back in 2015. It's gonna be the same groups for and the same groups against. So you're gonna have everybody put in the same amount of effort or more. And a question of the oil drilling, is a National Marine Sanctuary the right tool to prevent drilling within its area along a coastline? Is that a rationale for requesting one? Because that seems to be one of the main points I've seen brought up. So I'm curious on that. I don't see any special species. I don't see anything that an Endangered Species Act doesn't cover if they need that designation. Rebuilding a species, all of our rockfish species are being rebuilt along the coast because of our conservation efforts, and we're being rewarded by opening them back up. We have one rockfish species left, according to Pacific Fisheries Management Council, and that will be fixed over time. So I think that's like a lot of what I wanted to get out. I appreciate you guys adding me in. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate that, Wayne. We're up to Jesse Barrios, and we've added Richard Charter to our speaker list as well. So Jesse, you are up next.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
All right. There we go. Go ahead, Jesse.
I'm Jesse Barrios. I'm on the Port San Luis Fishermen's Association Board of Directors. I'm a third generation local fisherman. My family for the last 60 years has been involved in the fishing, the processing, distribution, retail, seafood restaurants in the area. I'm also have Chumash heritage as well. We can trace our ancestry to the Central Coast for the last 150 years. So I take a very high pride in kind of my personal identity in our Central Coast. I think there's very serious problems with the proposed sanctuary. It really takes the local control out of our hands. How it exists right now for fishing regulations, things like that, we can have a representative voice in Sacramento. Our association does a good job of kind of doing our best to voice our opinion on legislation, regulations, stuff like that. When we add a whole nother federal layer to it, we really lose a voice. And we don't have the financing that a lot of the big national, international, environmental groups have. So us getting our voice heard in Silver Springs or Washington, D.C. is a lot harder. So just for us to add a whole nother layer of federal control to it all, the local people lose a voice. I hear a lot of people talking about, well, they've got so many petitions and so many online things. And that's great, but a lot of that is national support. We're looking at local support, the local people that are affected, the families, the small businesses. We're the people that are affected. They keep saying they want the all the stakeholders at the table. I disagree that we have not had much communications. I feel like the fishermen have almost been excluded from a lot of the conversation. And not all stakeholding is equal. I feel we have a much higher stakehold, being that our livelihood depends on it, than people that are not local to the area. Also, you know, several issues with the federal management. The last few administrations have regulated strongly through executive order rather than through the legislative process that is really more representative. So when they put things in and they make guarantees that commercial fishing won't be affected, it's very hard to take them at their word, because their federal regulations can be changed basically through a stroke of a pen, and we ultimately don't get a say. There's also problems with the local infrastructure. As soon as you add another federal layer to it, the things we try to keep a close relationship with our local ports and harbors. So there's many things that we need for tourism, whale watching, harbor tours, commercial fishing, recreational fishing, that the local ports try to provide for us. So these are boat launches, boat ramps, hoists, pier maintenance. Adding a whole new federal layer to that does not ease in the efficiency of helping build our infrastructure to really meet our specific needs that we need on a local level. Kind of my last point would be that as someone with Indigenous heritage and someone that can trace my history back on the Central Coast for quite a while, I find it extremely offensive that a lot of this is being done under the guise of an Indigenous heritage. I think there's nothing more historically disturbing than ceding over local rights to natural resources to a federal government. This has not worked in the last 200 years. I don't feel the Indigenous people would have a place at the table. I feel they'd be on the table. So for leaders of the community to vocalize and give support to the federal government taking over a local resource, a local food resource, something of important heritage. It just is disgusting to me, and I find it really absurd. So that's all I have to say. I thank you guys for allowing me to comment.
All right, Jesse, appreciate your public comment. We'll move on to Brad Snook and then Richard Charter. All right, we're working on unmuting you, Brad. All right, go ahead, Brad. All right, we might have another little audio snafu here. Brad, go ahead and send a message in the question box, and I'll try to work with you on the audio issue, and we'll come back to you. So let's move on to Richard Charter for public comment. You're muted on your end, Richard, so we've unmuted you. Let's see if you can, perhaps on your headset or in another way, are muted on your end. All right, we may have to work on that issue as well. All right, so I'm gonna wait for Richard and Brad to see if they reach out so that we can work out the audio issue. So again, Brad Snook and Richard Charter. All right, Brad's here. Now, Brad, you were green and ready to go. Let's just try it again and see if the audio is working. So Brad, go ahead. If you're talking, we're still not able to hear you. So perhaps on your end, you're somehow muted, but your green audio on our end. So let's keep working on that. Or go ahead try again. Oh, there you are. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. My name is Brad Snook. I'm the chair of our county's chapter of Surfrider Foundation in San Luis Obispo. Thank you for the opportunity to talk. I'd like to mention some other agencies that might be involved in working with the sanctuary and the Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary. We have Once Through Cooling that is being phased out in Diablo Canyon, and realize there's some opportunities for some research there as the Once Through Cooling goes away and the devastating effects of that with regional water quality and many others. Cal Poly could jump in on the research side. Also Pismo clams, we understand from Fish and Wildlife and other scientists from Cal Poly that there's a slow rebound of the clams. Great opportunity for the sanctuary to help out there with public education and also national resources. The oyster farms in Morro Bay are a great opportunity for people to understand that we can bring things back and we can enjoy the bounties that nature has to offer. Constructive wetlands represent an opportunity to reduce single-use freshwater resources, serve as a substitute for ocean outfall, increase habitat for threatened species, reduce pollution in watersheds, serve as open space areas for public recreation, and build more carbon burial against climate change. Near the beach, constructed wetlands can serve as a barrier against sea level rise, storm surge, and tsunami runup. The Coastal Commission, county plans, conservation-minded landowners, regional water quality, and others would agree that watershed pollution reduction is an important function of a marine sanctuary. Ocean outfall of microplastic is a potentially significant, though unmeasured within the boundaries of the proposed sanctuary, threat to our marine ecosystem. The public must be continually educated regarding the dangers of single use and reduce, reuse, and recycle efforts to reduce impacts to sea and land. the Marine Sanctuary and the Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary proposal offer an opportunity for people to engage with nature, with the history of this area, and with other stakeholders that are important, including other agencies. The sanctuary is not here to control everything. The sanctuary is here to partner with those who already regulate. Thank you very much.
Okay, great. I'm glad we got that audio figured out, Brad. Let's go back to Richard Charter. I know you put in your audio pin, #6202#. So let's go ahead. It's still showing us that you're muted on your end. So maybe through your headphones,
Yes, now
we can hear you. Yep,
all
go
right.
ahead.
Excellent. My name is Richard Charter, and I'm speaking as a senior fellow with the Ocean Foundation. And thank you, Claire, Lisa, and Bill, for your service and for your patience tonight. And thanks to everyone on tonight for bringing this breadth of perspective. I think everyone has said important things. We need this listed nomination simply to remain intact on the list. It's a relevant asset in the NOAA inventory of successful nominations to one day be considered for a future sanctuary designation. Since the initial NOAA approval of the Chumash site nomination in 2015, the compelling arguments for keeping this designation on the candidate list have grown in virtually every way. So I speak today in strong support of keeping this nomination on your list. I will emphasize a couple of things. As you know, science seems to be telling us that the rate of increased climate warming impacts within the proposed sanctuary footprint appears to be exceeding that of the global ocean, and the importance of this particular upwelling system means that we need to know why. Increasingly, we've seen that sea level rise and ocean warming implications for the California coast involve prospective impacts to human infrastructure and the ecological sustainability of the natural systems on which we depend. We need this site as a potential future living laboratory in order to understand what's going on in this transition zone. Second, this ecological hotspot is increasingly threatened. In spite of the recent temporary loss of the economic viability of the offshore oil and gas industry, eventually the pending five-year Outer Continental Shelf oil and gas leasing program is going to proceed as planned. It will target this specific region twice, bringing the risk posed by two separate sequential offshore hydrocarbon leasing actions, and it's only a matter of time. Any semblance of local control over the federal OCS lease sales to open this coast to offshore drilling is very limited. Although local land use jurisdiction after leasing has taken place, including enhanced local ordinances, but they are not going to prevent a lease sale. Be there no doubt, while a smart planning step for localities, these onshore facilities ordinances, not one has ever, in and of itself, been able to stop an OCS federal leasing action anywhere for oil and gas, and sadly, in spite of what some seem to want to believe, it cannot do so here. I can't stress this strongly enough. The only workable mechanism that can guarantee permanent protection here to protect our fisheries and our clean coast economy from offshore oil impacts is the designation of a new National Marine Sanctuary in the Chumash footprint, period. So we need to keep this option open. Now is not the time to arbitrarily throw away the promise that this active nomination affords to every American in perpetuity. Thank you for your time and your consideration.
All right. Thank you, Richard, for your comment. We'll do another last call. That's all we had on our speaker list for this evening. There were, like I've mentioned, many other people that had registered and indicated they were going to speak during the public comment period, and I've gone back and forth through the attendee list. I don't believe they've joined, but if you happen to be on and now would like to make your public comment, please let us know by typing into the question box that you would like to make a comment and we will unmute you. Of course, anyone that last minute has not already had a chance to speak that would like to make a comment is also welcome to indicate that they're interested in that. There is this raised hand feature in the control panel. So if you want to do a quick raise hand, that'll also indicate to us that you would like to be unmuted if you haven't already had an opportunity to make your public comment. All right, we'll just hang out for a little bit. We've done these in our public meetings where we just make the opportunity available in case anyone joins the meeting late, and we won't quite conclude the meeting, but for most of you, if you're had your say and we don't anticipate anyone else joining this late, you're welcome to sign off. Otherwise, you're also welcome to stay on to see if anyone else wants to offer up comment.
Claire, this is Bill. Because a lot of folks may be signing off, I just want to extend my appreciation again on behalf of all of us that are part of this big team here in Office of National Marine Sanctuaries for folks coming out tonight. Many people listening, but many people sharing their views and opinions, and they've all been very helpful for us, so we appreciate that.
Yeah, and we're getting I was just going to say we're getting lots of comments in the question box of people's appreciation. Yeah.
And I just wanted to emphasize that folks can also provide public comment, written public comments via the regs.gov docket. It's right up there on the screen. It's also on our webpage. Go to nominate.noaa.gov. And if you have any questions, you can send me an email. My email address was flashing by a couple times too. So thank you everybody for your comments and joining.
All right, we do have another late contender here. So Deborah Williams, we will go ahead and unmute you so you will have an opportunity for 3 minutes to make your public comment. All right, go ahead, Deborah.
Thank you very much. My name is Deborah Williams. I'm a lecturer at University of California, Santa Barbara in the Environmental Studies Department. I specialize in public lands and waters. And I'm also a commissioner on the Goleta Parks and Recreation Commission, but I'm speaking in my individual capacity today. I will say, in teaching students about public lands and waters, one thing that comes up again and again with them is the importance of national marine sanctuaries. Many of them, as myself, have been to the extraordinary areas that are proposed to be protected today. And I can say that the support for this National Marine Sanctuary is very substantial. I just want to underscore something that many others have pointed out. You've asked what has changed in the last 5 years, and probably the single most important thing that has changed in the last 5 years is the increase and dramatic impacts from climate change. That alone, both with respect to temperature, ocean acidification, and the other impacts, warrants proceeding with this application and going forward to the designation scrutiny phase. I was pleased to hear both William, you, and others comment that there is the potential for clean offshore wind power and potentially even other renewable energy in this area. And that's something to keep in mind as we go forward, that this would not preclude it, but there could, of course, be regulations that would allow for that, which would be a win-win in this area. As others have pointed out, the other real risk to this area is the proposed current five-year plan, which is somewhat in, quietude, but depending on the election, could go forward. And that proposes a huge risk. We have not had a lease sale on the California coast, as you know, since 1986. This poses a tremendous new threat to this area. There are so many reasons to support going forward to with the next step, which we know is just going to open up further scrutiny, further public comment, further analysis, but there is no justification to stop this process now. I think the criteria for going forward have been more than met, and I strongly urge you to put this forward in the name of Chumash culture, heritage, natural environment, and more. Thank you so very much.
All right, thank you, Deborah. All right, we will, looks, all right. Again, you can use the raise hand feature, which is a quick way to indicate you'd like to be unmuted to make a public comment. Or of course, you can also type a message into your question box in the GoToWebinar control panel to let us know that you would like to make a public comment. I see Janine, your hand keeps popping up and down, so I'm not sure, Janine Rands. Why don't you go ahead and send something in the question box if in fact you would like to be unmuted. And for our team, we will just hang tight for a bit. And I guess I'll ask you, Bill, I know we were gonna be available as long as public comments were still coming in, but it was the meeting advertised from a certain point of time, 6 to 8 or 6 to 8:30?
No, it was, there's okay. Maybe been early discussions of 6 to 8, but it's been 6 until we're done. I mean, we're well past 8 now. So, you know, in the next minute or so, if there's no one else that wants to speak, I think it would be appropriate to conclude the meeting.
All right, it looks like we did hear from Janine Rands and she would like to be unmuted. So, Janine, I have, oh gosh, now I did Lisa's job and okay, friends. There you go. Go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me? It's good to hear you. Yeah, I've been part of the conversation all evening. And as a member of the Santa Lucian Sierra Club and the Climate Reality Group here in San Luis Obispo, we are all very concerned about the issues of our ocean health. I grew up in the Siletz River, Oregon area, and the Pacific Northwest in Oregon. And the healthy ocean was part of my life, my whole life, since the 50s. So moving down to California, it is again critical. If we don't control all the areas above, land-based pollution, land-based runoff, there's continual sewer overflows and leakage to our ocean, which prevents, you know, recreational use of the ocean, and people's critical ear infections and health issues from sewage leakage, which impacts the fish and all of the above. 3 years ago, we went to Costa Rica. All the boats were docked. They were urging tourists to go take a boat ride, but the locals said, "Hey, all the coral reefs are dead, and that's why the boats are." Well, they didn't tell us the boats are docked because the coral reefs are dead, but it's a big ocean out there, and we all share the same water. We all need to be involved in the ocean health. And when we are part of an ocean border, we're responsible for our impact to our local local access. And so I totally support the Marine Sanctuary, Chumash Marine Sanctuary, and NOAA's vote. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Janine, for your public comment. And same thing applies for anyone else that's listening in. We still have quite a few attendees in our virtual room. So if you'd like to be unmuted and have an opportunity to make a public comment, if you haven't already, please let us know by using the raise hand feature, like I've mentioned, or typing something into the question box. This is where we play the Jeopardy music, right? Do, 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 do. We We definitely appreciate everyone's participation, and we hope that although this was a virtual public meeting, that you felt like your voice was able to be heard and that you got a lot out of the presentation and the comments. So we do appreciate your participation and involvement.
I think if there's no more raised hands, Claire, I think we could call it an evening. And once again, thank everyone for their participation. For you, Claire, for doing such a great job running.
All right. Well, I will make a few comments before we close. We do have something that came in about, is this session being recorded? So as I mentioned in the very beginning, today's virtual meeting for the Chumash Heritage nomination to become a National Marine Sanctuary has been recorded. And so those that were asked to be unmuted and make a public comment, the audio of your comment, of course, was part of that recording. And the recording will be made available, right, Lisa, on the Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary proposed nomination site. And also just make note that the recording may be subject to release pursuant to the Freedom of Information Act. But as I mentioned, it will already be on a NOAA.gov website as well. So with that, I think we can conclude our meeting this evening. Again, we appreciate everyone's time and comment. We always are grateful to hear all the different perspectives when we're thinking about nominating or bringing into our National Marine Sanctuary System a new underwater treasure. So thank you again for your time. And with that, this concludes tonight's virtual meeting. Thank you.